Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
I got a question for you. What's your summer anthem? Is it Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire? Maybe you've still got Miley Cyrus's Flowers on repeat. But I called up Jason Lipschitz over at Billboard to talk about a very different chart topper. This is country music star Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town. And this week, it debuted at number 2 on Billboard's Hot 100. Would you call Try That in a Small Town the breakout hit of the summer?
Oh, man, that is a depressing question. I don't know if I would call it that quite yet. It's certainly the story in music of this week and potentially this month.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, it's super hummable. Like, I could maybe hum it right now. And it also has an interesting rhyme structure, which I think helps it along. Like, he has this lyric, try that in a small town, see how far you make it down the road. And it's just like, it's a little bit of fun with the lyrics that kind of works structurally, if I'm just thinking about it divorced from anything else.
Oh, yeah. And the interesting thing is, like, Jason Aldean, even though he did not write this song, he certainly knows how to deliver a song like this. Every conversation I've had over the past week is, hey, have you checked out this Jason Aldean song and what is going on with this song and why is it doing so well?
The reason so many people are asking about this song is because of its message. Jason Lipschitz at Billboard calls it a dog whistle anthem. That's because its basic premise is that cities are crime-ridden pits and small towns are bucolic places with neighbors helping neighbors. Things get really problematic in the music video, where lyrics serve as rolling commentary over footage of Black Lives Matter protests and looting.
There's just clips of big cities descending into chaos, and basically the music video makes clear that, hey, vigilante justice, like when this stuff is going on, vigilante justice is more than justified.
It's kind of like a Fox News segment, but like if it had a baby with country music.
It's absolutely that. It really is. And we've seen over the past few years, other artists make more explicit conservative singles. And some of them have hit the Hot 100. Some of them have kind of bubbled up on iTunes. But I think the fact that this was so subtle, it really is a kind of a perfect thing for Jason Aldean, because he can kind of nod toward conservatism while also having a degree of deniability, right? So he can say like all of these messages out in the song and video, but also say like, hey, that's not what I meant. Hey, come on. I'm just singing about small town pride.
In other words, this otherwise unremarkable country song has leveraged thinly veiled racial grievance into massive success. And in the process, both the song and its singer have become main characters in the culture wars. Do you think Jason Aldean knew what he was doing when he made this song?
You know, I don't think he did, but it doesn't matter because it still had the same effect.
Today on the show, why Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town is suddenly everywhere. I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around. This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, let's start off by explaining exactly who Jason Aldean is and what he's known for. He's a country singer, obviously, and it seems like he's pretty well known, but he's not necessarily a household name. Like, how did he first start getting popular?
Yeah, so Jason Aldean, who is from Macon, Georgia, broke through in the late 2000s and early 2010s, right? This was exactly around the time of bro country bubbling up into the mainstream.
Okay, what is bro country?
So it's kind of like a popular country strain in which a lot of male artists sing about bro things. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console. And it really was driven by the kind of macho imagery of Luke Bryan and Florida Georgia Line and Jason Aldean, which was basically like, these are really kind of alpha males who are also delivering like really nice melodies, but also doing it in kind of like a tough way. I always think of Cruise by Florida Georgia Line as kind of the go-to bro country song. So anyway, he broke out in the kind of the turn of the 2000s into the 2010s, and he was a successful country star throughout the 2010s. He had 4 number one albums, 10 number one country hits. He had a couple crossover songs on the Hot 100, but he hasn't before this month did not have any top 10 hits on the Hot 100 since 2011.
So if I went on a Jason Aldean like tour, if I went to a show, like where am I going? Is it a It's not a stadium, I guess.
No, not a stadium, but he's been a pretty regular arena and amphitheater presence. And, you know, it's interesting because this moment, this kind of flare up for Try That in a Small Town has come at a time where he's now a veteran. Like he's been around for 15 plus years and his commercial appeal has kind of slowed down to some degree, which is natural for any artist who's been around this long.
So this is giving him some new life.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is not the first controversy involving Jason Aldean. He's been criticized for wearing blackface and for performing in a Confederate flag t-shirt. But he's also tried to describe himself as apolitical. Back in 2016, he told Rolling Stone he wanted to stay out of politics, and he declined to answer questions about whether he supported Donald Trump. This all started to shift in 2020. That's when Aldean posted photos with Trump. During the pandemic, he made anti-mask comments at one of his shows, and his wife has posted photos of their young kids in t-shirts reading Hayden from Biden.
I think anyone kind of paying attention to Jason Aldean's statements over the years would probably conclude that he's a little bit more conservative than liberal, but he's never been super outspoken as a political operative.
Okay, so all this kind of brings us to the new song, Try That in a Small Town. It's gotten a ton of attention, even though it was released in May, so it spent sort of weeks just sitting there. When the song first came out, it sounds like it wasn't really on your radar, and then it was the music video that broke through. Can we just talk about the music video? Because obviously this is audio. The listeners won't be able to see it, but I want the listeners to understand it because it is striking in what it looks like. Like, you're seeing Jason Aldean performing in front of a courthouse, and then kind of layered over, you get these grainy cell phony images of protesters, images of people, you know, robbing a liquor store, sort of things, just sort of contrasted with him, basically, right?
Yeah, it really is sort of an anti-protester music video. And the interesting thing is, there's some of that in the song.
Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool, act a fool if you like.
In the first verse, he kind of talks about disrespect for cops and spitting in the face of police officers. And, you know, that doesn't fly in his small town. So you hear a little bit of that. And then in the second verse, he talks about got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up the guns, et cetera. So, but really, the music video is so vehemently anti-protester. And it's just basically saying, like, if you're protesting anything, then you are absolutely disrespecting the United States and you are a violent criminal.
It's not just that, though. It conflates things because it presents, you know, videos of actual crimes being committed side by side with protesters as if like these are the same.
Exactly.
And then like
yeah.
back to Jason Aldean, you know, I got my cowboy hat on. I'm in front of a courthouse, like, you know, American flag. This is what I'm about.
Exactly. Those clips of the actual crimes being committed are placed exactly side by side in the same exact sort of grainy footage as just people like protesting. And the thing is, like, it's come out that a lot of that footage, or at least some of that footage, wasn't even in the United States. Like, some of it was from Canadian protests. So it really is just sort of like a grab bag of, hey, general protesting, it's the same as robbing a liquor store, and we're against that. And again, you know, the video ends with this farmer saying, like, we help each other in our small town. And, you know, so it really is this sort of yin and yang of how to act in the US and how not to act.
Yeah. And then we should talk about where Jason Aldean shot this video, because he's performing in front of a very pretty lit up courthouse at night. It's all white, but the history of this place is very ugly. Can you explain?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, it's interesting because, you know, there's no nod to exactly where the courthouse is in the music video. It doesn't identify the courthouse by name or have any flashback to it. But basically, if you know anything about the history of that courthouse, you know that there was a famous, very infamous public lynching that occurred there almost 100 years ago in 1927, where basically a group of like absolute awful people rounded up and lynched a person of color. And that's really where the outrage began.
And it strains credulity that no one involved in the production of this music video knew that history.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that I'm sure someone involved in the production was aware of the history of the courthouse. Maybe not everyone involved in the production, maybe not even Jason Aldean. Maybe he didn't know the history of the courthouse and was just told, hey, let's film it here. And he said, cool. But I'm sure someone had to be aware of the kind of awful history of where they were filming this music video.
So when people started pointing out, like, hey, this isn't a great look, what happened?
So really, the kind of bellwether event was the CMT banning.
Country Music Television.
Right, yeah. So CMT is basically, it really does sort of function how MTV did 15 or 20 years ago, still playing music videos regularly, still having a ton of support from the country music industry. And CMT banning this video really was kind of a surprise, just because Not that they weren't justified in doing so, but CMT is not in the business of causing controversy and banning music videos. That's a pretty rare act for them. So that's really where it became oh my goodness, like this is a huge thing, and kind of a rallying cry for the conservatives who said, hey, why are you banning this? He's not even saying or doing anything. This is cancel culture. We're going to call into Fox News and we're going to buy this song on iTunes.
So CMT is trying to cancel Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town video because people are saying that it's racist. It's simply not. It's talking.
Aldean's song, which never even mentioned race at all, is being called a lynching anthem in the mainstream media. Watch this.
So how has Jason Aldean responded to all this controversy around his song?
He really has played into the kind of deniability of its messaging and basically played into this is a small town anthem. Don't get it twisted. He spoke about the song a couple nights ago at a concert of his. Obviously, there were like raucous cheers for him in support of the song.
If people don't like what you say, they try and make sure that they can cancel you, which means try and ruin your life, ruin everything. One thing I saw this week was a bunch of country music fans that could see through a lot of the bullshit, all right?
He hasn't really kind of sharpened his political stance at all, even though the song has become a conservative rallying cry. He's just more said, hey, this is a small town anthem. I hope you like it. Like, it's, I'm not racist.
People that come to my shows, you guys know what I'm about. You know that, you know what I stand for. I've never shied away from that at all.
It's so funny that he's talking about being canceled. I mean, he's number two on the Billboard charts.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is,
I would like to be canceled in this way.
Me too. Yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing is just like, it really is kind of this outrage tornado where Jason Aldean can cry about being canceled. His supporters can buy the song on iTunes and download it and stream it so that it won't be canceled. And it's this enormous impact up to the second biggest song in the country.
So all of this back and forth, the outrage tornado, as you've framed it, it's really meant that this song is broken through in a way that I feel like country music doesn't get talked about outside of the music industry. Like, I don't know that I would have heard this song without this controversy. But it's sort of funny to me because you've also said that this song is actually coming out at a really interesting time for country music. Can you explain?
Country music is having an enormous commercial year, and it probably the best year for country music that I honestly can remember. And if you look at the top of the Hot 100, you have Try That in a Small Town at number two. But right below it are Last Night by Morgan Wallen, which has been the biggest hit of the year in terms of charts. I believe 14 weeks at number one on the Hot 100. It is truly an all-time hit single. And then you also have Fast Car, the Tracy Chapman cover by Luke Combs, which has been a mainstay in the top five of the chart. So you have this controversy coming when country radio is totally reinvigorated with really big stars. And right now, this whole Jason Aldean thing is happening at a time when country music should be taking a victory lap.
When we come back, if country music is thriving, does Try That in a Small Town represent where Nashville's headed?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So
First, it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queen say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket. So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
Okay, so I want to get into where this Jason Aldean controversy stands within the broader context of country music. Because it's having such a big year, and because the industry has a reputation for being very white, very aligned with right-wing politics. But of course, it's a genre with a rich history of Black artists really pushing the sound forward also. It's just that we don't really talk about that as much. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the main thing to realize about the country music industry over the past 5 years or so is that they have made strides and demonstrable strides to become more inclusive. They do not want to be the hard right listenership genre. They do not want to be the all white male genre. So they, you know, if you watch any kind of country award show, there is many more women performing and people of color performing, and there is LGBTQ presence performing. And I think that there has been some success in those strides made, not an overwhelming amount of success, but at least some.
Yeah. I mean, is there like one artist who's like the anti-Jason Aldean out there?
You know, I would probably say Maren Morris, who has been pretty vocal about her political leanings. Obviously, she's been very supportive of liberal causes. Recently, we had her on the cover of Billboard with a handful of drag stars protesting the drag ban in Tennessee, just kind of one cause that she's taken up. But also you have, you know, a group like Brothers Osborne, which was a best-selling country duo, and one of the members came out as gay and received a good amount of support from the country community, and basically saying like, look, we are not the country music world that you think you know. We are trying to be more inclusive and more accepting and more diverse. And again, like what we've seen over the past few years to kind of combat that country music industry push for inclusion and diversity are these hard conservative anthems that, it, you know, Jason Aldean is not the first artist to kind of have this groundswell of conservative support. There is a base of listeners out there that want these sort of super conservative anthems.
Yeah. I mean, you've talked about this other artist, Morgan Wallen, who's incredibly dominant on the charts and in some ways really shows how artists are straddling this line in terms of conservative beliefs and, you know, how they present themselves in public. Can you talk a little bit about him and how important he's been to country music and what his story tells you?
Yeah. So Morgan Wallen has been the biggest star in country music this year, certainly. And I would argue over the past 5 years, he is someone who has courted controversy, most notably when he got caught on video using the N-word in early 2021. That received a quick backlash, not only from kind of all music listeners, but also his label, which condemned it.
Yeah, early 2021, it's like right around racial justice protests. It's just the timing is like, what?
Yeah, it was really like, I believe it was the beginning of that year and 6 or 7 months removed from all of the protests of the summer of 2020. So yeah, I mean, he had a huge album that year, but its impact culturally was a little muted because he was banned from award shows. He did not receive any Grammy nominations in any other year. He probably would have, but basically he was cast aside by the sort of cultural country music institutions, even as his album kept getting streamed and tons of sales. Now, 2023, he's back with a new album. It has been number one on the Billboard 200 chart for months on end. And, you know, the country music world has sort of welcomed him back in. They've sort of said, look, you know, he's apologized, he's raised money, he's worked with activists. Like, it's been a little bit of let bygones be bygones from the country music industry.
It really feels like country music is at this crossroads here. Like, you have some people in the industry who really want to shift it away from the stereotype of what country music is, which is, you know, anti-Black, conservative, white. But then you have people who are these commercial hits. How does this play out? It just seems like they're fighting it out right now.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks and months, especially for Jason Aldean, because this song is doing enormously well right now. It is number two on the Hot 100. It is his biggest hit in years. But as it falls back down, as the controversy dies down, it's going to be interesting because I would project that he's alienated at least some listeners, right? Like it has to be a good amount of people who like Jason Aldean, like his country anthems, enjoy him, but see this video and hear this song and are like, nope, I'm out. Like this, I'm not going to support this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see where his career goes from here.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can see just in his story how attempts to sort of limit his reach actually made him potentially reach more people. Like when country music television said we're not going to air this video, all of a sudden, like, boom, he was zooming up the charts.
Yeah, I would argue that CMT banning the video was an enormous success for Jason Aldean. And you look, like, the reality is, like, the video is still up on YouTube, he's still on tour, you know, the song's number two, he's doing fine. I do think that, to your point, country music is and has long been in a precarious position where, okay, we have to understand our fan base and what a faction of that fan base is, which is deeply conservative. And meanwhile, I do believe that the efforts for the country institutions to progress and diversify and get into the new decade and kind of join the new discourse around all of music identity is genuine. I do think that they realize that if we're just the hard right music, that's going to extremely limit their appeal. So they have to get bigger and they have to appeal to more listeners.
It's hard to do that when Jason Aldean is like your poster boy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like a lot of people love this song and love this messaging, just in the same way that, you know, a lot of people supported Morgan Wallen in spite of what happened in 2021.
Jason Lipschitz, I'm super grateful for your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jason Lipschitz is the senior director of music at Billboard. After a week of controversy, reporters noticed that the video for Try That in a Small Town was quietly edited. Footage from a 2020 Black Lives Matter demonstration in Atlanta got removed. And that's our show. What Next is produced by Paige Osborne, Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Madeline Ducharme, and Anna Phillips. We are led by Alicia Montgomery with a little help from Susan Matthews. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary Harris. I'm handing things off to Lizzie O'Leary and the What Next TBD crew. I will be back in this feed on Monday. Catch you then.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.